Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. My name is Dr. Supatra Tovar, and I live in Los Angeles. I have a private practice. I practice as a clinical dietitian and a clinical psychologist, and I've been doing this in private practice on my own since 2020, but I've been a dietitian for much longer than that. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So can you just tell us how you got into being a dietitian in the first place?
That was a long road, for sure. I grew up, you know, in Boulder, Colorado, and it's a very health conscious place to grow up. So it was all about, you know, being outdoors, being active. My mom instilled in us love of cooking and the food and nutrition. So it started there, but it didn't really take form until I came to Los Angeles. I was working as a Pilates instructor. That's another one of my skills under my hat. And a lot of my clients were, you know, struggling with eating and a lot of disordered eating patterns and things like that. And I really, you know, became inspired to help them. And so went to my program at Cal State LA to learn how to be a registered dietitian. And it wasn't until I was in this program that I realized, you know, my interest in disordered eating and eating disorders was fulfilled in some ways by becoming a registered dietitian. But I realized that my scope of practice wasn't large enough to cover the psychological aspects of why anyone would, you know, have any kind of disordered eating patterns or develop an eating disorder. And so that's why I went on to study clinical health psychology.
Awesome. So can you just tell us more about, like, who is your ideal type of client? Like, who do you typically work with?
I work with a lot of people who struggle with failed dieting or eating disorders. A lot of the times dieting is, you know, kind of a precursor to the development of an eating disorder. So the majority of my clients come to me because I have the background in dietetics as well as psychology to help them reformulate their relationship to food and to themselves. And so I've developed a program that helps people kind of basically return to being their own best experts by listening to their body's cues. I also help them just basically deprogram themselves out of diet culture mentality and reformulate their, you know, relationship to themselves with themselves as their own best expert.
Makes sense. So what is the biggest challenge that you face in your business today?
The biggest challenge? That's hard because that's pretty broad. I would have to say that because my practice is really full, I have to really carve out a work-life balance for myself. I tend to have really long clinical days working with people. And so, you know, to be able to do this, and I do this all via telehealth since the pandemic, to be able to sit for such a long period of time and to be able to, you know, attend and be present and be helpful, I have to engage in a lot of my own self-care. So I spend about 3 to 4 hours before I start working, engaging in, you know, proper nutrition and exercise and meditation, and I do massage all before I start my workday so that I'm able to have energy and stamina and, you know, the, you know, mental bandwidth to be able to handle such a long day. So I find that that's my biggest challenge. But, you know, when I look at that in, you know, relativity, it's not that bad of a challenge to have, you know, 3 to 4 hours of self-care. It's actually quite a wonderful thing to provide yourself.
Makes sense. So do you typically work with clients in person, or are they Zoom, and are they all over the country or just in LA? Like, what does that look like for you?
I am licensed in California, Colorado, and in Illinois. I practice out of California, and everything that I do is telehealth. I used to have an office pre-pandemic, and then that was shut down during the pandemic, and I started working out of my home office and never left. I loved every second of it. So in order to work as a psychologist with people across the country, I have to be licensed in the state that they're in. So I'm only allowed to work with people in California, Colorado, and Illinois. The majority of my clients are in California.
Makes sense. So in terms of, you you know, getting new clients, like what does that look like for you? Or just like even growing your business? Like, you know, do you run lots of ads or like how have you been able to scale up since 2020?
Well, that actually was a natural process. I did not have to advertise. The only advertising I've ever done is through Psychology Today actually has a therapist locator, you know, a database essentially. And so I've always been a part of that. There's also some other ones, but Therapy Den is like, or I'm sorry, Psychology Today has been my main source of advertising. But when the pandemic hit, that was such a tumultuous, distressing time for most people. So most therapists that I know had their practice just fill up. And so that's essentially what happened. I got licensed in 2020 and all of a sudden, you know, this is during the pandemic, and I was essentially full and have been full from that point forward. I also think, you know, and I get referrals from different like eating disorder programs and doctors and things like that. So it's always been kind of a natural process. Once a client feels ready to graduate and move on from therapy, I'll have an opening. And then usually, as if by magic, somebody will contact me either through Psychology Today or from one of my referrals and then take that available slot. So I've been completely full and continue to be. And I think it's just kind of a, you know, just a natural process, getting new clients.
Makes sense. So in terms of scaling your business, like, do you look at, for example, like hiring people under you, or I guess like, mm-hmm. what is the vision, like next steps? Like if you're full now, like, are you looking to grow even more? Like, what is that, you know, yes. I guess like, what is your thought process for that?
Well, because of this program that I developed that helps people, you know, basically remove themselves from diet culture and learn how to be their own best experts. I created that into an online course. It's called Deprogram Diet Culture, and it's available at anew-insight.com. It's a seven module video program that comes with a accompanying workbook that goes through essentially what I do with my clients when they come in for disordered eating, trying to, you know, get out of the nasty cycle of dieting, and even some of it, what I do with my eating disorder clients. So this is available to people beyond, you know, just coming to me individually. It's also going to be released as a book in September. So I'm hoping to really be able to disseminate this information to the world, essentially. On top of that, I do have an associate who works under me right now, and I'm considering, you know, scaling it up even more and adding on some more associates.
Makes sense. So in terms of like scaling that up, like, you know, is that something that you look to run ads for? I guess like what's like your go-to-market strategy for scaling this course up?
The course, yes, that's a whole can of worms right there. And that, you know, the course was just released this year. So we're developing that strategy right now, along with the, you know, the publication of the book. We're really going to be doing the full scale marketing of that when the book is being released. So I think the book will actually be the draw for the course, even though the course is already out. That's where I'm hoping most of my marketing efforts are going. So what we're doing right now is we are revamping all of my social media, making sure that we're ready for this book launch and beyond. But, you know, right now, as far as the course itself, of course, we're like promoting it on social media. We have a few, one freebie right now that helps to draw people to the course. It's a mindful cookbook for busy people is what it's called. So we have a free cookbook that we are releasing, and we will soon be releasing a mindful eating journal. So that hopefully draws people in, gets them interested in the concepts of mindful eating, and then, you know, gets them even more interested in how that's applied to the course itself. So those are the kinds of things that we're doing right now.
Makes sense. So what would you say, like, you know, as you're, you know, growing this and doing this course, like, what is the vision? Like, how many signups, or do you like a certain revenue goal in mind, or what does that look like for you?
Because it's relatively new, we're still developing that. I mean, obviously we would hope to, you know, sell as many as possible, but because the marketing itself right now is still in its infancy stages, we just don't have that information quite yet. And especially since we are coordinating it with the release of the book and the book is yet to be published, that's all kind of in the works right now. If you'd asked me this next year, I would probably have, you know, a lot more solid answers for you in that.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure that you may have like some goal in mind of like how many signups or like what would be, you know, considered, you know, a success, if that makes sense.
Well, I would say, you know, at least 10 a month would be a success for me. And I would hope for many more than that. But I think that as my baseline would be really wonderful. As far as the book is concerned, I would love it to reach a bestseller status and be selling, you know, hundreds and hundreds of copies when it's released.
For sure. So in between, like, you know, from now to getting to bestseller status and 10 people signing up a month, like, what do you think is like the biggest obstacle, you know, between getting from where you're at now to that?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at marketing itself, it's a zoo, essentially. There's so many different ways you can do this. Obviously, by promoting on social media, you can do Facebook ads, you can do, you know, Instagram boosting and all of this stuff. So all of this is going to be incorporated into the strategy. And so I would say that the biggest obstacle is, especially with online courses, there's a lot of competition. So you have to find your way through the competition, although as far as I know right now, there's nothing like my course out there. So it doesn't necessarily have, you know, strict competition. But you really have to kind of figure out how to get the course in front of as many eyes as possible. You also have to worry about, you know, what kind of money you're putting into the ad revenue. Where is it going? How do you target people so that you're not just like throwing money into the wind? So it's definitely a process and it takes a team. So that, you know, that's what we're working on right now to get out there.
Makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely exciting. And I think, you know, probably a big challenge for any course creator is like, how do you make sure that your course is not viewed by people as a commodity, like something that they actually need to sign up for, as opposed to like a different course?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think if you look at where we are in terms of diet culture right now, I think we're in a really dangerous area because, you know, just with the advent of these weight loss medications that have kind of taken the world by storm, essentially, you're seeing a lot of people, whereas, you know, a few years ago, there was more of a rejection of diet culture and the horrible influence it has over people. There was more of a rejection of that a couple years ago. And then with the advent of these weight loss medications, I think it's actually ramped up, you know, issues within diet culture. I think by the time that the book comes out, people are going to be really, you know, searching and looking for a natural way to get to their own, you know, version of whatever their healthy weight is. Because what we're seeing right now is, you know, we have a lot of people with dependency on these medications or people who want to go on it for a little while, then come off. And what they'll find is that most often they gain the weight back. So they're going to be right back where they started before, but maybe even with worse problems. So, you know, my goal is to be the natural option where, you know, if you look back in time, you know, especially before the food industry really started to ramp up production of highly processed foods, and we saw a rise in overweight and obesity rates. So they've been doing this for a long time. It's correlated with the rise of obesity rates. So what we're seeing right now is the result of that. And then, of course, we have pharmaceuticals who come in and try to counteract, you know, the problems that have come from the food industry. But before the food industry really became, you know, what it is today, people did not struggle with their weight as they are right now. And so my course and my process takes people back to that, how to listen to their bodies, how to discern that between mindless and emotional eating, how to be in tune with their body's chemistry, like their hunger and their fullness hormones, how to eat mindfully, and how to make behavior change that actually lasts. I believe it's, you know, just a much more sustainable option for people than spending thousands of dollars a month on medication that they have to be on for life in order to maintain these results.
Makes sense. So what would you say is like your top business priority in the next few months as we're finishing up 2023 and going into 2024?
Well, top business priority has been about, you know, getting this book published. So it's really just getting into the weeds in editing and the cover design and making sure everything, you know, is right with the team that's helping me produce and publish this book. Luckily, the course has already been created. It's done. So that's, you know, that was its own set of very long hours and lots of work. So, you know, going into 2024, it's really going to be all about maintaining my practice, growing that, and working on the publication.
Makes sense. So what do you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
Oh boy, that's a good question. Biggest piece of advice I wish I knew. I guess, I mean, I had such good advice all along the way. So I feel like going into practice, I was really well prepared. I did my postdoctoral work under Dr. Richard LaBrie, and he really helped me understand private practice and the, you know, mechanisms that go into it. And I also knew that I had to work exceptionally hard. And so it's not necessarily what I wish I knew, but maybe what I wish to impart on people going into private practice is that it is, you know, an exceptional amount of hard work and hard labor. And you have to be willing to do that and go above and beyond, you know, what you think you might need to do to get a practice going. It was a lot of like answering referrals at whatever time of day, it didn't matter, you know, and just doing whatever was humanly possible to make sure that, you know, the practice got off on its feet. Also about like networking and making connections. So this is all stuff that I learned along the way, and it was not easy, but certainly that, you know, if you do, you know, as much work as possible in the beginning, especially if you want to make a private practice that is not insurance dependent, which is what mine is, private pay only, you have to put in a lot of time and effort to be able to do that.
Makes sense. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Well, we're going to have the book release next September. So I think that that's going to be a really, really exciting time. Once that book is released, there's going to be a lot of PR. There's going to be a lot of, publicity that's going to be put into the book. So I think what you'll most likely see me is out on the circuit, doing a lot of podcasts, getting as much press as possible, taking as many interviews as possible. I also am contemplating doing what you're doing, which would be to start my own podcast. I've been the works of talking to a couple people about, you know, joining me in that effort. So you might see me with my own podcast by next September as well.
That's exciting. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or best way to be in contact with you?
Absolutely. I have two websites, one for my practice and one for my educational company that houses the course. My personal website is all one word, drsupatratovar.com. It's drsupatratovar.com. And then my educational website with the course is anew-insight.com. anew-insight.com. And you can find all of my social media on both of those.
Sounds great. Well, I want to say thank you so much for your time today, and we're rooting for you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.